الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
inshallah, let us try to come closer, respected friends. Inshallah, the closer we sit to the minbar, inshallah, the more the barakat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends, inshallah. Let us try to fill in the gaps. Those brothers who are sitting at the back also, inshallah, from the sunnah of our Nabi and the Sahaba, was that they used to love to sit close to the minbar. And in that way, inshallah, we'll be fulfilling a sunnah and making place for those who will come in a bit later, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wal Aqibatu Lil Muttaqeen, Was Salatu Was Salamu Ala Ashrafil Anbiya'i Wal Mursaleen, Sayyidina Wa Mawlana Muhammadin Wa Ala Alihi Wa Ashabihi Ajma'een. Amma Ba'du, Faqad Qala Allahu Tabaraka Wa Ta'ala Fil Quran Al Majeed Wal Furqan Al Hamid, بعد أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالوا يا شعيب أصلاتك تأمرك أن نترك ما يعبد آباؤنا أو أن نفعل في أموالنا ما نشاء إنك لأنت الحليم الرشيد صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable Ulama, respected Huffaz, elders and brothers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, we begin with the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah who is mine and your soul sustainer, cherisher, nourisher and protector. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, leader, mentor, teacher and our guide, Nabiya Pak Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and friends, in the introduction of the ayah of the Quran Kareem that I had recited before you, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, قَالُوا يَا شُعَيْب أَوْ شُعَيْب أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرَكَ أَن نَتْرُكَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ أَن نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْشَى. That, O Shu'aib, does your prayer tell you, or does your religion tell you, that we should abandon what our forefathers worship and that we should desist from doing as we please with our wealth? Now this verse refers to the people of Madian who were Arabs and they lived around present day Jordan today. They were guilty of several vices. However, they were particularly known for fraud. They were known for fraud. A very difficult topic for me to speak. And I chose this topic today because there were so many other things I had to speak about. But I chose this topic today because unfortunately Muslims have made the headlines in this week like you can't believe for all the wrong reasons. So what these people did, they rigged the scales so that they could cheat in weight and measure. They were white-collar criminals who gave less than what was due scales. So Allah sent Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salam to them who warned them against commercial fraud. They, however, could not accept the fact that religion had any role in determining how you earn and how you spend your income. They couldn't understand that. So they ironically responded by saying, does your idea of prayer demand us to abandon the ways of our forefathers? Now friends, it is a well-known fact that the most popular reason for disbelief of our messengers and the numerous before him that came was adherence to one's ancestral legacy. That was the reason why Quraysh did not believe in the Nabi of Allah. By accepting a messenger's claim, one would acknowledge that the heritage had been a source and pride of identity is now reduced to a history of misguidance, ignorance, and a legacy of false belief and practices. It is not an easy thing to accept, especially when it came down from generations to generations. They said, "Ya, qalu ya abana, this is how our fathers did it. This is how our forefathers did it. My forefathers did 40 day khatam. Who are you to tell me not to do it?" Generations in. Now we're all of us. So it's a very difficult thing to accept ancestral legacy. So nevertheless, they objected and they said, "Oh Shu'aib, the Quran captures the thought processes of these past nations so beautifully, who followed their family religious, social and ethical legacy." So Allah speaks about this people of Madian, and they said that, you know, we cannot understand how is it that you want religion to regulate our economic activity also. Now Allah speaks of economic activity in various parts of the Quran. I'll suffice with two ayat. In the first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la ta'akulu amwalakum baynakum bil batil." That, "O you who believe, do not eat each other's property by unfair and dishonest means." Straightforward. Allah is giving me and you an injunction. That do not eat each other's property by dishonest means. Your income should be earned through honest and fair dealings. These verses forbid Muslims against all unclean and corrupt means of making money, such as dishonest trading, embezzlement, gambling, speculation, bribery, whatever it may be, all falls in the category of لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطن. So Allah has regulated the manner of prayer, and religion extends beyond worship. And me and you need to understand that Islam is a complete code of life. And that is what they could not understand. They could not understand that, okay, you can tell us to fast, you can tell us to pray everything, but how can religion have a role in our economic activity? Their response is very similar to present day practice, where people think that religion is confined to acts of ritual worship. The idea of a religious person, a good individual, does not go beyond prayer. That's what people think, that he's a namazi, he's this. I'm not saying you should not read namaz, understand me very well. That is a mandatory obligation that you owe to Allah. But people think that regulation is only in the masjid. You see, friends, I tell them that a non-Muslim does not see you read namaz. A non-believer does not see you read namaz. Where does a non-believer see your actions? In your business transactions. In your honesty. And many a times, unfortunately, the biggest darkus are sitting in the masjid. In the second ayah, Allah says, "Waylul lil mutaffifin." Woe unto those who give short measure. When they are taking, they take full. But when time to give, oh my Allah, they find every excuse in the book. They find every excuse in the book not to give the amount that is owing to this person. I'm going to tell you an amazing hadith. My time is going. The Nabi of Allah, a hadith mentioned by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. A time is going to come over society where a person will not be bothered less whether his earnings is halal or haram. A hadith mentioned in Bukhari, that a time is going to come in society when a person will not be bothered whether his earnings is halal or haram, as long as it comes. As long as it comes. How it comes, he's not interested. A time will come where people will regard honesty as a liability. People will regard honesty as an outdated policy. No question of right and wrong. Only criteria will be to accumulate. How I accumulate, it doesn't matter. As long as I accumulate. Some years ago, there was a study that was done by a psychologist, Dr. Robert S. Fieldman. He was a psychologist at a university, and he determined that 60% of adults lies at least once during a 10-minute conversation. 60% of adults speak a lie during a 10-minute conversation. It was a very surprising result, said Dr. Robert Fieldman. We didn't expect lying to be such a common part of daily life. It is not strange that most people are of being lied to, yet there are few practices more common than lying. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports that the Nabi of Allah said, Allah is pure. Understand this man. Allah is pure. And Allah only accepts pure. And the very same command, Allah commanded the believers what He commanded the messengers. He said, O messengers, eat of that which is pure and then perform righteous acts. I am well aware of what you do. Then Allah said to the believers, eat of the good things we have provided you and give thanks to Allah for that what He has given you. The narrator of this hadith says that when the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention of a man who undertook a long journey, a difficult journey, he was disheveled. He had a dusty appearance. And he raises his hands towards Allah and he says, Oh my Allah, Oh my Rabb, Oh my Rabb. But his food is haram. His drink is haram. His clothes are from haram. He is nourished from haram. How can his dua be ever accepted? His food is haram. His drink is haram. His clothing is haram. Everything is based on haram. And on the 15th of Shaban, the night, he says, Ya Allah, O Allah, O Allah, O Allah. Hey, my Allah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu would not allow a person to do business until he had learned the Islamic manners and the etiquette of running a business. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu, Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahimahumullah, a great saint of his time. He said, listen to this friends, amazing. Wallah, we need to take stock. The news made, Ya Kareem Allah, where this ummah is going? Abdullah bin Mubarak said, keeping my sin from consuming a doubtful dirham. I'm not talking of a haram dirham. I'm talking of a doubtful rand. Keeping myself clean from consuming a doubtful rand is more charitable to me. It is more pleasing to me. It is more liking to me than giving 100,000 dirhams in charity. You think you're going for Umrah is going to solve your problem with the embezzlement of funds? You give big money to organizations, it will solve your problem. It's not going to solve your problem. You'll have to answer faith in the court of Allah. Wahib ibn al-Ward rahimahumullah said, if you stand in prayer, equally as this column is in this masjid, you see how this column is? You see these pillars, how they are? They're standing straight, not moving in the least bit. If you stand like that your entire life in prayer, as equally as the columns are in this masjid, it would be no avail to you until you take care about your livelihood, whether you verify what is lawful and you verify what is haram. On the day of judgment, people will come with deeds as huge as the mountain of Tuhama. These righteous deeds should be soon scattered and invalidated. Why? These people will be thrown into hellfire. The companions couldn't believe. Such clean-hearted people the companions were. They couldn't believe. They said, O Nabi of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, how would this happen? How would this happen? They couldn't believe it. The Nabi of Allah replied, these people used to perform salah. They used to fast. They used to give zakah. They used to offer hajj. But they used to consume haram. So Allah invalidated their righteous deeds. Allah wiped it out. Allah says, I don't need it. 60, 70 years of righteous deeds you did, you consumed haram, Allah wiped it out. My friends, my time is up. This week alone, 3 cases made the media news. 160 million, 250 million, 400 million. And the trail goes to Muslims. Hey, my Allah. Think about it. You owe people money. No, I'll pay you next week. You tell them to run away with your money. A non-Muslim garden service who does my garden service at home every Thursday, he says, priest, I did a home. It was in a mess. It took me a week to clean that yard. Till today I'm waiting for the money. I received a call last week from a non-Muslim person. He said, priest, are you the priest? Your name is Muhammad. I said, yes. He said, so and so in your congregation owe me money. He took a service. He didn't pay me still. Hey, my Allah. I didn't know where to put my face. I didn't know what to tell him. I'll pay you next week. You think I'm going to run away with your money? You think I'm going to do this? You think I'm going to do that? No, my brother. You need to understand. Halal income will breed halal thoughts and actions. Haram income will breed haram thoughts and actions. You owe somebody money? That is the first haq. Go and pay the person his money. And then come and read your salah and do everything else. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الذي لم يزل ولا يزال حيا قيوما عالما قديرا مدبرا سميعا بصيرا ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وأكبره تكبيرا ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي أرسل إلى الناس كافة بشيرا ونذيرا صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فيا أيها الناس إن لكم معالم فانتهوا إلى معالمكم يا أيها الناس إن لكم معالم فانتهوا إلى معالمكم وإن لكم نهاية فانتهوا إلى نهايتكم فإن العبد المؤمن بين مخافتين بين أجل قد مضى لا يدري ما الله قاضٍ به فليتزود العبد من نفسه لنفسه ومن حياته لموته ومن شبابه لكبره ومن دنياه لآخرته فوالذي نفس بيده ما بعد الموت من مستعتب ولا بعد الدنيا دار إلا الجنة أو النار أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل إلا أن تكون تجارة حاضرة تديرونها بينكم إلى آخر الآية صدق الله صدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنه وفاطمة سيدة النساء أهل الجنة رضي الله عنها وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل الدين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم بارك لنا في شعبان وبلغنا رمضان وبلغنا رمضان وبلغنا رمضان اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون Let's ensure our steps are straight, shoulder to shoulder with our heels in line. Alhamdulillah, today we're so fortunate, the day of Friday, 15th of Sha'ban, beautiful atmosphere, mashallah. Ideal opportunity to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the masjid and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming closer to the month of Ramadan, we start preparing ourselves financially, spiritually, inshallah, so that we can take maximum benefit, inshallah. Humble appeal to the brothers to donate generously towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وقد قامت الصلاة. أقام الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ويل لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع ماله وعدده يحسب أن ماله أخلده كلا لينبذن في الحطمة وما أدراك ما الحطمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مؤصدة في عمد ممددة. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والكرام. اللهم صل على محمد واله الف الف مره. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمه انك انت وهب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. اللهم انا نسالك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم انا نسالك العفو والعافيه والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا. اللهم بارك لنا في شعبان وبلغنا رمضان. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك.
اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Allah.
الله.